The following program contains a joke told by an elderly lady. It contains bad language, so listener discretion is advised.
This is Out Front.
New voices.
Her voices.
My voice.
Out Front.
New vision.
My vision.
Out Front.
Outside.
Outer limits.
Out of the ordinary.
Out of bounds.
Out there.
Out Front.
Do I
welcome to Out Front. I'm Jeff Roten.
I was on the call. Who are the 6-0s? Who are the 7-bams? Who are the 7-bams?
No.
What were you playing for?
One of my fondest childhood memories from the 1960s was laying in bed at night and listening to the reassuring sounds coming from the living room of the girls, my mother and her friends, playing Mahjong, an ancient Chinese betting game. I was always fascinated by the dozens of exotic-looking bone tiles. They were shaped like dominoes, engraved with ornate, colorful designs. And then there was that clacking sound. There'd be laughter and conversation, and you could hear they were having a good time. They'd end the evening with a big feast, platters of food, mouth-watering desserts, candies, stuff that my mother never served her family. But most of all, I was fascinated by the bond between these friends. Now in their 70s, the girls have been getting together faithfully every Wednesday night for 50 years to play Maj. Okay, but wait a minute. They're not Chinese, they're Jewish. The girls are my mother, Roz Roten, Dorothy Chapman, Betty Wolfman, Chickie Mendelow, and Goldie Johnson. They're kind of like a Yiddish version of the Joy Luck Club.
And she marched on a quilt.
Oh my God.
And got her own tile.
On a recent trip to my hometown of Toronto, I joined the girls on Maj night. I wanted to revisit that childhood memory. I wanted to explore the secrets of this Wednesday night ritual that has helped them maintain a close bond for 6 decades. I wanted to join in on that incredible feast.
So they don't double everything.
They mix.
Like the dozens of Maj tiles that are scattered helter-skelter in the middle of the table, their friendship is a massive jigsaw puzzle of memories and anecdotes. As with any intricate jigsaw, I start at an edge, at the beginning of their friendship, and piece it together from there.
We met in the cottage country when we were about 12 years old. And everyone would meet on the pier who would be out at the cottages, and they would bring the radios or whatever, and there was music, there was a lot of conversation, there was a lot of horsing around, and it was fun.
So we were little girls when we started our friendship. 12 years old is young. We went through all kinds of things together, having a club, going out with boys, leading to marriages, having children, getting together to play Maj every Wednesday night.
That's my mother. She isn't exactly a wealth of information. Her recollections from those early days are sketchy at best. After 50 years, some pieces of the puzzle are permanently missing.
How did you start playing this game?
We don't remember.
We were just talking about that.
Our sisters, our older sisters did play. Now, whether they taught us or not, it's possible.
We can't remember.
That's also our age, too.
Not one of us remember it.
In fact, back in the 1920s, Mahjong was all the rage when it was first introduced in the U.S. By the 1930s, it had been embraced by urban Jewish women. It became an integral part of North American Jewish culture.
Very rarely go anywhere else on Wednesday night. Our husbands know not to make any social arrangements. And when it does happen, it's really frustrating because you say to him, You know it's Wednesday night. You know I can't go out Wednesday night with you. We play Mosh Wednesday night. I want to get together with the girls. Wednesday night is our night, and that's all there is to it.
For the girls, Mosh night has been their weekly asylum away from the responsibilities of family life, where they can forget everything and just have a good time.
Darn it. I was hoping you'd take the first one.
Well, you know what? I'm just so bamboozled here.
The game of Mahjong is played by four people. Each player builds a long wall of tiles face down. They also line up tiles in front of them, like in a Scrabble game. Players take turns drawing tiles from the walls, then discard a tile from their hand. There are 144 tiles, all intricate, all different, with various colors and designs, from circles and Chinese characters to small figures. It's all a mystery to me, a jumble of patterns.
The game looks so complicated. Is it,
just not real?
I'll take the two.
It's not complicated at all, Jen.
It's similar to cards, you would say.
Yeah, actually, like rummy.
A little bit like rummy.
That's what it is. It's exactly that. It's rummy.
You know what?
You do run.
I don't know. There's something about the game of Mosh. We just like the game. It's challenging too. And we don't take it too seriously. We can't lose too much.
They play for nickel anties. The most someone can lose in a night is around $5. Although they're quite focused while playing, these evenings clearly aren't about the game itself.
Okay, girls, I haven't Mosh, so I'm
all right.
Due for
it. You're the only one?
I
haven't Mosh.
Haven't you?
No, Rosie.
As I watch from the sidelines, much like I did as a six-year-old, I wait for them to invite me to join them in a hand. But they don't. And I don't feel as if I'm at liberty to ask. This is a tight-knit group. No outsiders allowed.
See if I get such a perfect hand that I can't let you. How's that?
Well, at least I'll be able to join in on that banquet at the end of the evening. Meanwhile, more pieces of the puzzle are snapping into place, slowly forming a patchwork rendering of their lifelong friendship.
Worst thing we ever did.
Yeah.
It was Dorothy's house.
Yeah,
yes,
I'll
it was.
Up in the
never
den.
Forget
I
that.
Will never.
Cecile,
I think everybody
get
was
that
crying.
Cecile.
One especially. Of the girls, we said she was steal. You were
what
the
was
one.
That?
Oh, it was Chicky.
What's
that? You remember the word?
It was George.
Do you remember the word?
I'll never.
I think you did. What did you
call it? CT.
You told me.
What was it?
A CT.
Did we?
Oh, I've never used that word in my
told
life.
Me about 5 years ago.
Why do you still call yourselves girls?
What would we call each other if it wasn't girls?
Well, I know.
What are we gonna
my
say
daughter says we're not girls. You're not girls. You're ladies. She says, well, you're all married. You're not girls anymore.
Yeah.
That's the explanation I got. And I
well,
still
we're girls
say girls
in heart.
Our age is just a number.
Big number, however.
Getting bigger.
Getting bigger.
One thing's for certain. My mother and her friends are not uptight old ladies. The retelling of a vulgar joke had them all in stitches.
I thought it was so
very clever.
Clever.
Very, very clever.
Read the joke.
It was the first day of school, and a new student named Suzuki, the son of a Japanese businessman, entered the fourth grade. The teacher said, let's begin by reviewing some American history. Who said, give me liberty or give me death? She saw a sea of blank faces, except for Suzuki, who had his hand up. Patrick Henry, 1775, he said. Very good. Who said government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth? Again, no response, except for Suzuki. Abraham Lincoln, 1863. Class, you should be ashamed. Aki Suzuki is new to our country, knows more about history than you do. She heard a loud whisper, the Japanese. Who said that, she demanded. Suzuki put up his hand. Lee Iacocca, 1982.
That is very
great.
It's not fit.
No, it isn't.
Now furious, another student yells, oh yeah, suck this. Suzuki jumps out of his chair, waving his hand, and shouts to the teacher, Bill Clinton to Monica Lewinsky, 1997. The teacher fainted.
Isn't that funny?
That is 30.
I'm still missing one piece of the puzzle. I haven't uncovered the secret of their friendship, so I dig deeper.
Surprisingly, we never really get into our own personal things. It's all very superficial.
If something is, let's suppose something's really bothering us, and you say, you know, I'd rather you don't discuss it with anyone else, you know that's it. Or if you need to talk to someone, you know they're there for you.
We don't say too many bad things about our spouses. We really don't.
Well, we'll say the odd thing, but if we have a serious problem, we don't really air it out, or I don't know, I certainly don't.
I think of how my friends and I commiserate about our relationships and the problems in our lives, and how tedious that can get. I think of TV shows like Sex and the City, where the women complain and divulge every sordid detail of their personal lives. Whatever happened to just getting together, having a good time, and a few laughs? It's so simple, really, and yet it evades so many of us.
Oh my God, I finally marched.
It's about time. The whole night.
That's right.
The best part of the evening is yet to come. The food. All those childhood memories come rushing back. As the girls wrap up the game and count their winnings, I am salivating in eager anticipation.
So let's just close
it up.
Close, okay.
Just add up what we won and lost and stuff.
But as I watch my mother set the dining room table, things aren't quite what I recall. There's one measly apple pie that looks like it could be a single serving, some herbal tea, hot water and lemon, and that's it.
Now, I seem to recall that,
years ago,
that, you know, at the end there was like this big feast. What
that's
happened
right.
to the big feast?
We all got fat. It got too much.
We got older, and we don't eat that way anymore. Everyone's lifestyle.
I try and hide my disappointment, but they don't really notice anyway. They're too busy having a good time. After all, it isn't about me. It's about the girls.
Now we could put one muffin on the table
and split it four ways,
and there'd be peace left over.
The girls aren't as boisterous as they used to be. They don't stay up as late. There's no lavish banquet anymore. But like the light snack they now have, what endures is plain and simple. Friendship, trust, a sense of humor, good times, and loyalty.
It's just been going on for such a long time that can't see it any other way.
Hopefully it'll go on indefinitely.
In this day and age, where everything is disposable and relationships are so transitory, nothing seems to last forever anymore, except Maj night. In Vancouver, I'm Jeff Roten. This is Out Front.
This is Pedro Mendez, the web producer here at Out Front. If you enjoyed Jeff's show, then I invite you to go online and meet Chicky, Roz, Dorothy, Betty, and Goldie in a special interactive feature we've put together. Check out cbc.ca/outfront and step inside their Mahjong game.
I'm Steve Bates.
And I'm Jake Moore.
In Winnipeg. On the next program, you'll hear our story. For the last 2 years, we've been renovating a turn-of-the-century house in Winnipeg's downtown core. Hear how our work as artists has been influenced by this project.
We're two of many new contributors you'll hear on the show this season. If you'd like to be one, get in touch. The phone number is 416-205-6606. The email address is outfront@toronto.cbc.ca. Thanks for listening.